Well, good day everyone everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and this is our Prophecy Reality Edition. So if you're listening on a Tuesday night on First Amendment Radio, why don't you come on over to the chat room and join the live broadcast, because we are live. And, well, let's see, what are we going to talk about tonight? My good friend James brought to my attention the cover of the Economist magazine, and I found it very interesting. As you know, I've been talking about a certain cover of the Economist magazine for quite a number of years now, and I'll put that one on the screen here, and let's see if I can get this thing to work right. There we go. And, you know, the Studio Cam is on. We have exhibits on the screen. And this, of course, is the Economist magazine cover from January 1988. We've talked about this, and I put it in my book on the Mark of the Beast chapter. And this is where the Economist magazine, well, they predicted that in 30 years, that would be in 2018, that arising from the ashes of the paper currency, as you see down here at the bottom of the screen, is the Phoenix. And the Phoenix is a denomination of digital currency. And right here on this medallion on the Phoenix itself, it has a 10 Phoenix, and it says right here 2018. Maybe we can zoom in on that a little bit. There we go. And you can see up here it says January 1988. And there's some of the articles that were in that magazine. Get ready for a world currency. And it's not paper. As you can see, the paper is burning down there in the bottom. And, of course, the medallion lets us know that it's 2018. And if you read the article, if you get my book, I quote the article in there and also have a picture of the copy. And you get a free e-copy with this exact same picture in it. At my website, crosstheborder.org, all you have to do is go to the free ebook tab there, and we'll make sure you get a copy, a free e-copy of that book. The e-copy has color pictures, so you can see all these things and zoom in on them, or at least whatever pictures I have in there. Okay, so this is Economist magazine in 1988 telling us about what they have planned for our future. Now, the Economist, this is like the Rothschild Bankers magazine. And the Rothschilds are the Vatican bankers, just so happens to be. And also they are situated in one of the cities of the empire. That would be London proper, the financial district, that district that is like, well, it's like the Vatican. It's totally sovereign, separate from London and Great Britain. Has its own sovereignty, kind of like Washington, D.C., one of the other cities of the empire, the three great cities that rule the world. I call it the unholy trinity that rules the world, and I have an article on my website that if you go there, if you go to my website and you scroll down in the right-hand side, you'll always see the empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world is in the trending now, because people are always looking at that article, one of the all-time most popular articles on my website since I published it. So read that article, and like I said, go up here and click on the free ebook tab there and make sure you get a copy of a book. Just follow the simple instructions there and you'll get that. Let's get back to our magazine cover. Now, as they did in 1988, and I guess they've been doing it ever since whenever, the bankers, the economists, they like to let us know what's in store for the people of the world. So they published another very intriguing cover since the election of Donald Trump, I believe. And here it is right here. And this, so you can see the economists. The world in 2017, they've got a backdrop of outer space here and whatever, and it says Planet Trump. So prominently, they think that Trump is going to change the world. Perhaps he is. Perhaps he isn't. I don't know, but he does forebode, you know, many changes that a lot of people are looking forward to. And of course, there's that group of people that are not looking forward to the changes that Donald Trump. But they use a tarot card theme here to let us know that they're divining the future. That's, you know, because tarot cards are used in divination. Of course, if you're a Christian man or woman, you would stay away from things like that. But it's just a theme they've adopted, and, you know, I don't put any stock in their divination. But these are kind of the movers and shakers of the money world. And the Vatican bankers, the Rothschild bankers, with all the other bankers, you know, the ones that control our Federal Reserve, that's not federal, it has no reserve, you know, that due to the Federal Reserve coup that they accomplished in 2017. Yeah, those world bankers, that's right. And I did say Federal Reserve coup of the United States Treasury, because it was a coup, and now we have foreigners, and have had foreigners controlling the money of America since, 1913. Let's zoom in here a little bit and take a look and see what they got here. Okay, we have it right here. This first card I found very interesting. This is the Tower, as you can see there. And I don't know what this lightning bolt. I'm sure there's some significance to that as an emblem or of in, you know, New World Order, you know, graphics and what these images mean. But the rest of this is pretty self-explanatory as far as the tower. Now, the tower, from our tarot card, the tower seems, it has a cross here, you notice, over the door, and there's something nailed to the door. Now, to go along with the theme, I would have to say that this is a Protestant cross, because there's no Jesus on it. And this is 2017 is also the year, the 500th year anniversary of the nailing of the 95 Theses to the door of the church at Wittenberg. And of course, it was the nail that kicked off the Reformation as we know it. It was the notable event that happened on October 31st in 1517. And so now it being 2017, the year coming up, it will be the 500th anniversary. But you notice that the lightning has struck the tower. The tower is in flames. It's cracking and falling down. And it's falling apart, and smoke is rising out of the top of it. We see bricks and pieces falling off the tower. So the tower is being destroyed. So Protestantism is being destroyed. The 500 year effort of the Counter-Reformation has achieved its goal. As we know, the Pope announced this year around October 31st that the Reformation was a good thing, and now, but the protest being over, and they announced that a year and a half or 2 years ago, that the protest is finally over, and so Protestantism is done away with. But we see what's behind the destruction of Protestantism. The Protestant tower is, we have over here on the right hand side, this would be Catholicism. And I would say that because here in the middle we have the cross. Of course, this would be a true Christian cross because Christ is risen. But in the Catholicism cross, Christ is still on the cross because he's being crucified in their mass continually. And according to their doctrine of transubstantiation. So I have to say that what's behind the destruction of the tower would be the Catholic Church, the Jesuit order, and everything that encompasses the Catholic Church. On the other side, however, we have communistic atheism would seem to be the other moving force behind true Christianity that opposes both of these things that is being destroyed. So they may see a rise of persecution. And, you know, you don't have to be a prophet or a diviner of the future to see actually what is going around the world right now. Christians are being martyred, losing their faith. I mean, just heard on the news today, more Christian homes being destroyed, more churches being burned over in the Middle East, especially in Islamic countries and throughout Africa. And so, they're not really divining anything. They're just telling us what is going on. But I guess they expect more in 2017. Now, the next card here is, this one is judgment. And of course, they've got Donald Trump here sitting on a coiled up flag, maybe representing a snake or whatever, but you can see it's draped over the world here. And of course, his feet are on the North American continent here, and more specifically, the United States of America. I don't know what this thing is that he has in his right hand, but I do recognize the scepter in his left hand with the Roman eagle, signifying that he rules America, North American continent, perhaps for the Roman Empire such as it exists today. Now, if you've listened to my broadcast very long, you know that I believe in God's word, and I believe the prophecy that the Roman Empire still rules the world today, but it rules not like it ruled in the past. We had the Roman Empire that rose before Christ, and the pagan emperors ruled until papal Rome rose, and then it ruled for 1260 years until it received its deadly wound to the head that controlled the beast, the papal beast. And but since then, that wound has been healed. But if we go back to Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar dream image, which I have labeled Mystery Babylon, because the head, of course, is Babylon, and it is a overview of all of the kingdoms or the nations, times of the Gentiles that will rule the world until Christ returns. And so we see that the iron is broken in the feet and the 10 toes, and they're mixed with iron and clay, so it never comes back together. Excuse me. But it continues to be broken in pieces. And that's why every effort to build a one world order under, one dominant, empire, like the British Empire, the American Empire, or the Roman Empire, will fail. Because the scripture says that it will fail. Let's get back to our images here on the cover of the magazine. Okay, so we covered the tower, we covered judgment, we have two more here. I really don't know what to make of this picture. The world seems to be that we have all of these things interconnected, maybe representing the internet. We got a couple things floating out here on their own, perhaps the Word of God. And I don't know what this picture of this person is supposed to be. Someone said it was praying hands, but no, I think it's supposed to be the image of a person, but it's not made out. It's not to be made out. So I really can't say what it is or what the artist, if he was trying to say anything, perhaps he was just trying to complete it with his key ingredients. Of course, these first two here are just chock full of, your guess as to what it means, but they do say, it does say at the top of this thing, over here in the right-hand side, it said Planet Trump. So we got Trump down here setting on the planet and on the judgment card. Okay. Okay, so now over here, the Hermit card. I'm no kind of expert on tarot cards. I just know they're used for divination, so that's the thing they're going with. And they're telling us about what's going on. I guess we can expect more of that in 2017. Stop EU or no EU. So we have the Brexit this year, the TTIP, these trade TTP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, and all of these trade things, and people marching against them in lockstep, apparently. I can't tell where they're going or whatever. We do have an icon of the world here with a crack going through it. maybe saying the world is becoming divided along certain lines or whatever. Okay, so I'm not going to read any more into it, except they're telling us what we already know is going on, as far as I can tell. I don't know if there's any significance to anything else in this picture. They got the moon up here, crescent moon, and what is it, six stars. Whether it has any meaning or not, well, we guess we'd have to ask the people that did the painting if maybe we'll find out one day what they meant. But this is, we have over here the death card. Okay. Looks like an atomic bomb. The sun, you know, turning to blood, looks like, blood, a red sun. Couple mosquitoes up here, maybe carrying viruses. We got, of course, the Reaper on a white horse. What does it mean? We got a dried up stream with a fish in a puddle of water. And I don't know what these yellow things are on this landscape. And we see smoke rising from the atomic detonation. So make of it what you will. It may be nothing more than artwork, or maybe, you know, who knows? We can only guess. And I'm not into divination, but that's interesting. And well, here we have the magician, and of course we got a cookie cutter world. We got a 3D printer here, and some guy with his virtual. Well, of course the Roman garb. These are all taken from the tarot card theme, the magician card, and of course we have the 3D printer and the virtual reality, just telling us that people are blinded perhaps by virtual reality, and they're blinded into accepting a cookie cutter world. I couldn't say what these buildings are or aren't. They just look like old row houses or something. They're kind of pretty nondescript, and there's nothing to indicate anything about the buildings. And of course the Wheel of Fortune, this might mean, this is more about the European Union and what's going on there. We have Angela Merkel here with the German flag. We have the French flag and the Norwegian flag. So I guess perhaps these characters are coming up for election in 27. I don't know. There's ballot boxes down here. And that's the Wheel of Fortune. And perhaps that's what they think of a free, democratic society, government, whatever. It may not mean anything at all. Usually on their covers for the year 2016, 2015, I looked at some of the covers and they just have world leaders, so they just work some world leaders in here, I guess. And of course, here's the star card. I have no idea what that means or what this planet is supposed to be or who these people are, these black and white photos with yellow coloring tint to them, and I have no idea who these people are. So anyway, I thought it was a very interesting cover and thought you might like to see that. And of course, if you put in excuse me, and so if you Google The Economist 2017, you'll find that YouTube videos and people trying to tell you what they think or could possibly mean or whatever, but they're all guessing and you know, what it means. Well, 2017, looks to be an eventful year for, prophecy anyway. Okay. By the end of 2017, if we go back to our other, magazine cover, The Economist magazine cover from January 1988. The end of 2017. Wow, that's a little more than a year away. Will be 2018. They plan on having all of India numbered by that time. There's a lot of shaking up going on in India right now. They're trying to push it on the people over there. So they're going to try to pull off their one world digital currency. It should be very interesting. A very interesting times that we're living in. World War III, there's a lot of speculation because of these cards and stuff that they might be planning to start World War III so that they can foist the New World Social Economic Order, Mark of the Beast on people, and a one world government. Unfortunately, for most people that are worried about a one world government coming, they've already got a one world government, okay? It's already here. And it's already in the form that the Bible says that it will be in. You're not going to see any cohesive one world government. And of course you have all the evangelicals who sprang from Protestantism, basically, but they've forgotten their Protestant roots. I'm not even sure that in the town where I live there's even one Protestant church. I know there's a Lutheran church. But yeah, I went there once. And anyway, and then they kind of just act like the Catholic Church to me. I'm sure their beliefs are a little bit different, but are they true Protestants? Are they still protesting? Well, if they're waiting for the Antichrist to show up and they don't know who he is, then they're not Protestants. If you're a true Protestant, well, you know who the Antichrist is. Yeah. You know what the apostate church is. And, well, she has a lot of daughters now because they've all forgotten all about the protests. They've even stopped calling themselves Protestant. Yeah. And I guess that's why the Pope could proclaim, you know, a couple of years ago that the protest is over, and why he even celebrated the Reformation. He said he's celebrating the Reformation, the year of the Reformation, being the 500th anniversary. And we talked about that here a month or so ago. So, very interesting year coming up. What do we expect to see in the year? Well, more of the push on the war on cash, and they're going to attempt to abolish cash altogether. They're eliminating high denomination notes. At the same time, they're devaluing the currency. So right now, a $20 bill can't even buy what a $100 bill can't even buy what a $20 bill could buy 60 years ago. That's the truth. I remember when I was growing up and a teenager, and I'd see the car ads on the television or in the magazines or whatever, and you know, a new car was like, you know, $1,500. Can you imagine that? Brand new automobile. But now there's like $15,000 for a cheap automobile, so that's like 10 times. And so when they get rid of the higher denominations, at the same time they devalued the currency, boy, that's like the double whammy. Okay, we're going to go into a break here. You're listening to Cross the Border, Prophecy Reality Edition. We'll be back in a few minutes. Go not anywhere.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
I'm supposed to be back on here. Oh, is it getting warm in here, or is it just me? Yeah. Oh, welcome back. Yeah. I think it's getting warm in here. Or is it just, it's 80 degrees in here, isn't it? Yeah. That's pretty warm. Well, I'm not sure that, that night times are for me, because, not too many people showing up in our chat room here, and I'm not sure there are many people listening at all. And James is sending them all to other websites in the chat room, so they're all getting distracted and going somewhere else. So maybe I ought to just go do something else myself, huh? Yeah, that might be something to do. We could rerun last week's broadcast, the Tarot Card Future. Yeah. Anyway, everybody wants to look at it, huh? Yeah, there it is. We'll put it on the screen for you. Here it is. There it is, the Tower. This is the most poignant one of all. We have the destruction of Protestantism. I mean, this is definitely a Catholic magazine. When you put the destruction of Protestantism, and you see that the Catholic Church over here on the right is behind it, and also you have atheistic communism on the other side, and the Tower, and of course this is, there's no one on this cross, so that's Protestantism, and because he's risen, he's not being crucified through transubstantiation continually, and those Catholics, they just don't want Jesus off that cross. That's their thing, so they still have their continuing sacrifice, and of course the 95 thesis on the door and the Tower being destroyed in its 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. And really, you know, what I would say about this card here is this is really celebrating not the 500th year of the Reformation, but the 500th year of the Counter-Reformation, because this was its goal right here, the destruction. Now, we know that the Jesuits were definitely behind communism, and especially in Russia and China and South America, wherever communism sprung up, because the new world order monetary mark of the beast system is necessarily social commu fascism. That's what I call it, social commu fascism. So that's probably the most poignant card in the whole thing. There is the Tower card with the destruction of those. James telling me I should look up Zechariah, you say, James? And boy, here's Bible. Oh, I gotta. Oh, that's what I gotta do. Yeah, everything I have this eSword loaded on it, it works differently. That's Zechariah, huh? Right there, chapter 14. Oh, the last chapter. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. That's interesting, yeah. And yes, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Yeah, I don't know. That sounds more like a 70 AD thing. Because the people did go into captivity in 70 AD. Comments? Okay. Yeah. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, the spoil, and gather all nations against Jerusalem. And what is all nations? Well, you'd say the Romans, but the Romans were all nations in 70 AD. They ruled the world, and they had conscripts from all nations in their forces. So, I mean, so, but as far as the city being taken and half of the city going forth into captivity, I can't see that happening at the return of Christ. You know what I mean?
Well, it says that his feet shall stand in the mount of olives.
Yeah, and then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And, that doesn't sound like 70 AD, that sentence there. So we'll go at one line. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So, interesting. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. And I don't know what Azal is. You know what Azal is?
Name of a place
not known. Well, that doesn't really help us much, does it? Let's see if I can find it down here. Norris and okay, now I lost. Oh, here it is. Azal. I'll put on my glasses here so I can see this little itty bitty writing. It says the name of an Israelite and of a place in Palestine. So, okay, well.
Looks like they're fleeing.
And say, okay, yea, ye shall flee as like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come and all his saints with thee. And all that. Interesting. Yes. And all with thee. Yes.
That's definitely the second coming.
Well, it's hard to say.
It has to be. Because he's fighting the nations.
Yeah. Well, it kind of does sound like it. Okay, in that day it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear, that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at eventime it shall be light. Okay, I have no idea what that means. Oh, yes. Yes, I did a study on Zechariah. It's hard to say, James.
I think it's second coming.
You think it's second coming? Well, let's see if we can find even some more clues in here. And it shall be in that day that living water shall go out of Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter. Now, see, I don't know if this is all symbolic of things that already happened. In past time?
Well, it says in 14:5, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee.
Yeah, I did read that.
Yeah, but that's got to be...
Not necessarily. It says earthquake as in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. So it's talking about a specific earthquake that happened in the days of Uzziah.
It's a simile. It says,
and the Lord my God shall come, all the saints with thee. You know?
All the saints, yeah. That's
right there. Yeah, well, it could be all the saints that whatever this... Yeah.
It's not angels, it's saints.
Well, I know, but that doesn't mean all the saints of all time at the end of the world. I mean, you're making an assumption there. Of course, we have to make assumptions to kind of feel things out. So, I mean, it's okay to make assumptions, but to see if the assumption can stand. You know, I forget. I did this study and it's so cryptic that it's hard for me to keep it all, to even remember. Because it wasn't long ago, probably within the last year, I did the study of Zechariah and forgot what any conclusions I might have come to. Yeah, I'm just having a teenage moment here. Okay, continue on. It shall be, and I like the living waters shall go out of Jerusalem, half toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Now, that kind of sounds like it could be the millennial reign of Christ type of thing. Or it could be symbolic for something that already happened. Okay? And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Now, see, that does sound like the millennial reign. So, we just feel this thing out and see where it leads us. Or it feels a little bit mixed up. All the land shall be turned as the plain from Geba to Rimmon, south to Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and to the corner gate and from the tower of Hananiel to the king's wine press. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. Well, that certainly hasn't happened yet, has it? So, yeah. So it seems to be there's more indication toward the millennial reign of Christ, which I do believe in. I'm not an amillennialist, as they would say, an amillennialist, and I'm not a Catholic either. Because all Catholics are amillennialists. They don't even believe in the millennial reign of Christ. They believe that if you believe in that you're a heretic. They call it the millenarian heresy. If you actually believe that Jesus is going to show up and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, that he's going to physically come and rule and reign for 1,000 years, you're a millenarian heretic. And of course they have to believe that because they believe that the vicar of Christ, the Antichrist, the Pope, is supposed to reign over the earth. So they don't want to believe in that Jesus actually physically, literally returning to the earth in like manner as he was lifted up off the earth, as the scripture says and supports. I do believe that part. Yes, no doubt about it. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. So that sounds like that final battle, that Armageddon battle where they go to battle against. And what is Jerusalem? Is it really Jerusalem, or is it Jesus, you know, the Messiah and his people that return with him, you know, that are resurrected and change and meet him in the air and come with him to battle for that great day of the battle of the Lord? Are we the new Jerusalem? You know? Or is it actually the physical, literal Jerusalem that we're talking about here? I think Jerusalem
is...
You think
it's...
Physical
and spiritual, both.
Oh. So it's both. Yeah.
Because,
it's supposed to be around the Har-Mageddon, the mountains of Megiddo. There's a valley there. So this battle is going to take place near Jerusalem, but the people that have fought against Jerusalem, so we see in the end time that there's going to be this final battle where the beast and all the people that are prepared by these frog spirits, right, for that final battle are going to come together against the Lord and against his anointed, and that will be the returning Messiah with the thousands of his saints. And of course, we should be in that number if we belong to him, because we'll be changed and we'll be like him and we'll be ready. A lot of people have a hard time with that, especially a lot of the futurists. They think they're going to go to a 7-year marriage supper of the Lamb and boot camp so they can be ready to come back and battle with the Lord. I don't think that's going to be necessary. While all those poor people that got left behind on planet Earth and didn't get raptured, yeah. Well, that fantasy is going to be busted real quick once they start building that temple over there and nobody's raptured. You'll see. Yeah. Get my book. The rapture will be canceled. As a matter of fact, all three raptures are going to be canceled. The first move that people make when they start investigating into the rapture to see if it's really in the Bible, and most of them end up going, oh, the pre-trib rapture, that ain't true, it's the post-trib. Well, I got bad news for all you post-tribbers who think you've discovered something. There is not even a 7-year tribulation period in the Bible before Jesus comes. And so that's made up too. That's from a twisting of God's word. And you can read, I'm writing another book that will have a lot more, study information on it. And I put a couple chapters, on my website, so you can check them out. And I shared them on this broadcast too. Let's see, what were the name of those articles? If you're interested in those, if I go to my website here, and let's see, what were the name of those articles? I'd have to go back. Okay. November? 7 articles in November. Let's try October. Let's see what happens. Oh, I see how that works. Okay. Oh, yeah. When the temple is built, the rapture play will begin. You can check out that one. That article there. James did the editing on that. You remember that, James? And let's see, another one. I did a couple where I put in the title book review 1 and 2. So you can check those out too. But or early next year, I should have my book published. Still working very hard at it. So look forward to seeing that released early next year. Okay, well, let's see. Where else was I going? Oh, we were still looking at this this text here, Zechariah. Okay, now let's put it back on the screen. Okay, and this shall be the plague where the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. So you don't want to be on the wrong side when this time comes. And when is this going to happen? Well, it's going to happen in the next 40 years. Yeah, that's... I would predict that, and I have another post on my website called What Year Is It? If you want to get a timeline from the Bible to find out about what year the 7th millennium begins. So go to my website, put in the search box there, What Year Is It? And you'll find that study there. But the rapture believers, of course, they all believe, the rapturists, the left behind, futurists, they all believe that, Christ's return is imminent for the rapture. And because everything that the Bible says is going to happen before Christ returns is going to happen after they're raptured, of course. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible 7 years because everything in the Bible is future. It hasn't been unfolding over the last 2,000 years as the historicists and the reformers believed, as I believe also, but they believe all that stuff, all the the bowls and all the judgments and the four horsemen of the apocalypse. All that is going to be crammed into either the entire, if you're a pre-trib rapturist, or if you're a mid-trib rapturist, it's got to all be crammed into the last 3.5 years. So the entire Revelation is going to play out in 3.5 or 7 years. Okay. Well, I see that we have about 40 years left for all of these things that are left to play out, and nobody's going to be raptured. There will be a resurrection, though, when it's all said and done. And I don't call the resurrection a rapture. I don't mix it up like that. So I do believe in the resurrection, but I believe the resurrection is biblical, and the raptures are not biblical. So anyway, let's go back to our text here in Zechariah. Okay, the plague, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. You know, that does sound like some kind of nuclear thing going on. I don't know whether it is or not. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Well, see, if we're fighting on the Lord's side, we don't have to worry about that, because we're going to all be resurrected, and perhaps they're going to unleash nuclear weapons on the world, on themselves, on the people that are left, as we're on the side, you know, resurrected in our resurrected bodies, fighting on the side of the returning Messiah to set up his kingdom in the world. So I'm glad that I'm going to be on that side of the battle when it comes. And if our calendar is right from the scripture, we've got like 38, 39 years left about. So this is something that's that far off. And I'm beginning to be kind of an old man myself, so I'm just kind of hoping I can hang on that long. I'm going to do my part to keep myself as healthy as possible and serve God for another 38, 39, 40 years, whatever time I have left here, so that, because I would like to be there, you know. I'd like to see that happen without having to go to the grave. Of course, you got a bucking, you know, 5,000 years of human history, almost 6,000 years of human history, where almost everybody went to the grave. So, yeah. Okay, verse 13 here. And it shall come to pass in a day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. So it looks like they will be lobbing nuclear weapons at each other or something. And so we see that, you know, because that's what it sounds like. And since they have them, and this is the time, perhaps we're just going to get rid of all the nuclear weapons, because when Jesus sets up his kingdom, and then we won't need those. You know, I don't think we're going to need a lot of things that we have now. Verse 14, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. And so shall the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, the ass, and of all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. Okay. Yeah. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of the hosts, and keep the feasts of the tabernacles. And you know, this is, I've come to the conclusion that there will be mortals who will live through these terrible events that are coming. Huh?
Right there.
Yeah, and that's the evidence, and that's probably where I came to that conclusion by reading this, that shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came. So there will be individuals. That's the every one. In one is an individual. Everyone that is left. So there will be individuals out of those nations that weren't resurrected, but they'll be left on the earth, and they will come, which they shall go up from year to year to worship the King. So this is definitely a millennial reign prophecy here. in Zechariah chapter 14. But there's more evidence that there will be mortals populating the earth. Because at the end, of course, at the end of the, if you read the Revelation, at the end of the millennial reign, or near the end of millennial reign, that Satan will be loosed out of his prison for a while, and to gather the nations, to gather to battle against the Lord and against the camp of the saints, and called Gog and Magog. That's the Gog and Magog war. So we know when that's going to happen. And so as an organizing force for evil that will rise up from these mortals that populate the earth during the millennial reign of Christ, there will be people who will still not worship the king. They will still want to choose sin and evil. And so as a organizing force for them, Satan will be loose for a while. And much as Satan has been an organizing force for evil in the world for now, you know, nearly 6,000 years. So to gather them once again together for battle. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We're going to have a little news, and we will return.
Jesus bled and died.
years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. There's a possible sign today that Christmas shopping will turn out to be lackluster. The government says Americans increased their retail spending just slightly in November. Retail sales rose only 0.1% after a downwardly revised 0.6% growth in October. Consumers bumped up their purchases at restaurants and furniture stores last month, but they trimmed spending at auto dealers and department stores, limiting the overall advance in retail sales. City officials in Chicago might do well to take a course on the Constitution. Charlie Butts explains why.
Some Americans advertise on the Internet to allow people to stay in their homes, perhaps an overnight stay while traveling, and pay a fee lower than most hotel rates. In Chicago, a 58-page ordinance was passed by City Council restricting the practice. Attorney Christina Sandifer is with the Goldwater Institute and takes a look at one of the most draconian provisions of it.
You have to open up your home to city inspectors who can come and search your home at any time and in any manner. So in other words, whenever a bureaucrat wants to come in, they don't have to tell you why. They don't have to tell you what they're looking for. They can come into your private home and search it for whatever they want and for any reason or no reason at all.
The Constitution prohibits unreasonable search and seizure. Chicago also requires the homeowner to take down personal information on their guests. Sandifer points out the Supreme Court ruled against an L.A. ordinance requiring hotels obtain and turn over such information.
Well, if the Supreme Court has said that cities can't do this to hotels, certainly cities shouldn't be able to do this to people in their private homes and to guests of private homes. But yet, that's what the city of Chicago has done.
The Goldwater Institute has filed suit against Chicago for those reasons, and if necessary, will use a courtroom as a classroom to teach Chicago officials the Constitution.
These bureaucrats have just become out of touch with the Constitution.
Of course, the city could just drop the ordinance.
It's almost 2017. Do you know where your state is in terms of economic freedom? Chris Woodward has a look.
The Economic Freedom of North America Index is an offshoot of the Fraser Institute's Economic Freedom of the World Index. Dean Stansel, Research Associate Professor at Southern Methodist University, contributed to the index.
The index is composed of 10 separate variables on government spending, taxes, and labor market restrictions. At the top, we've got New Hampshire, Florida, and then South Dakota and Texas are tied for third, followed by Tennessee. At the bottom, we've got New York in the very last. We've got California at 49. And then a three-way tie with Alaska, New Mexico, and Hawaii.
One of the more consistent things researchers have seen in recent years is the clear contrast between Florida and Texas at the top of the scale and New York and California lagging behind at the very bottom.
Not coincidentally, there's also been a huge contrast in their economic performance. Over the last 3 years, population in Texas and Florida has grown more than 2.5 times faster than it has in New York and California, and you've seen the same sort of trend for employment and income in those states. So residents are clearly voting with their feet against the big government tax spend and regulate approach of New York and California and in favor of the economic freedom approach of states like Florida and Texas. Go to freetheworld.com and they'll find the full report there. We've also got some tables with a whole page for each individual state.
I'm Chris Woodward.
Ohio's governor has signed a bill imposing a 20-week abortion ban while vetoing stricter provisions in a separate measure that would have barred the procedure at the first detectable heartbeat of the baby. Kalana Bradley reports.
The so-called heartbeat bill would have prohibited most abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can be as early as 6 weeks into pregnancy. Governor John Kasich says the 20-week ban is the best, most legally sound and sustainable approach to protecting the sanctity of human life. Similar measures to the heartbeat bill elsewhere have faced legal challenges, and detractors in Ohio feared such legislation would lead to a costly court fight. Opponents predicted it would be found unconstitutional, a concern Kasich shared. I'm Carlotta Bradley.
American Family News is online at onenewsnow.com. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver.
Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, our Prophecy Reality Edition. We're just talking about, the Economist magazine cover for 2017. Of course, they are predicting the death of Protestantism, or maybe they're just stating the fact. Like I said, I'll put that on the screen here again, the tower. This is the the success of the Counter-Reformation. That's how I would depict this picture. What it's depicting is the success of the Counter-Reformation in destroying Protestantism in its 500th year of the Reformation. And so Counter-Reformation success there. That's what they're saying. Okay, well, look, we are looking at Zechariah, talking about the future to come, what we can expect in the during the seventh millennia, which is kind of right around the corner, if about 40 years is right around the corner. But hey, compared to 5,000 years of history or 6,000 years of history since God created the heavens and the earth, and yes, I really do believe that. Another 35 to 40 years, the seventh millennium begins, and I believe that Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, he will return, and when we see him, and those of us that belong to him, when we see him, we will be like him. That's what he said. And then we will join him for the great day of the Lord, that battle against all of the nations as they align themselves against him and against the Lord and against his anointed. So it'll be a glorious day. And we're reading in Ezekiel here about Ezekiel chapter 14, which is apparently about this millennial reign of Christ and, this change that's about to happen on the earth. It says here, and it shall come to pass that everyone is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And, I've said that for many years, that in the millennial reign, we will be keeping the feasts. We will be keeping tabernacles. We will do the Passover, that memorial. That great memorial that was given to Israel in the wilderness when they were, when the Passover, the first Passover happened, they had the Passover lamb. They killed the lamb and they put the blood on the lintel of their door, and the angel of death passed over. But everyone who did not do as instructed, or the Egyptians, the firstborn of every male of animal, beast, and man died. During that Passover, if they weren't protected by the blood of the Lamb. And so we will be celebrating the Passover. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with celebrating the Passover. It's a memorial. It's a remembrance. Right? You had to eat it, remember? And a lot of people say, well, that's barbaric. We can't sacrifice animals. Well, I guess you must be a vegetarian then. Because animals are sacrificed just for food. Think about that for all you objectors out there. And there will be mortals living on the earth. I think I saw someone in the chat room say that that doesn't prove that there will be, people will be able to live through this final great day of the God Almighty, but here it indicates that they will, and there are other indications. This isn't just the only indication that there will be mortals that live through the final, the day of, the great day of God Almighty. Of course, all those that belong to Him will be resurrected, the dead in Christ, and then those who are alive and remain will be changed, and then they'll be caught up together in the same resurrection event, and so we will ever be with the Lord, and of course we will be with Him in that final battle. And everyone who is left, after all the wicked are killed, I'm gonna imagine that there are a lot of innocents among these nations that are going to live and won't be the object of that judgment, who will somehow live and live to populate the earth, immortals, okay? Because we will be immortal if we belong to Him. And that's why it's so important. You know, we look at prophecy a lot, and we can't forget what's really the most important thing is not that we agree on everything prophetic or on the timeline or when it's going to happen or you believe in the rapture or not or whatever. If you haven't studied that out and found out that it's not in the scripture. But the most important thing is that you are covered by the blood of the Lamb, that your sins are washed away and you're walking in God's kingdom. And I tell people it's very important that you enter the kingdom of God. As even Jesus talked about entering the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, His gospel was called the gospel of the kingdom. So we have to make sure, because there's a lot of people preaching gospels out there, but they're not the same gospel that Jesus preached. And a lot of them, you know, innocently don't understand that their gospel isn't quite right. But so you have to understand, what is the gospel of the kingdom? Because Jesus went about preaching, and what did He say? He said, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." That was the gospel that Jesus preached. He went about preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom is at hand." So if you're preaching that gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, repent, and inviting people to enter into God's kingdom, to become a citizen of heaven, because His kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of God, pretty much meaning the same thing. And you enter it now, during this mortal existence that you're living in now. You have to enter it now, because Jesus didn't die for the dead. He died for the living. And so you have to do it during your mortality. Once your mortality is over, it's too late. If you haven't made that choice and entered into His kingdom, well, you're not going to be there. You have to be there to be there forever. You have to be in His kingdom when your mortality ends. So repent. The kingdom is at hand. And when you repent and enter into the kingdom of God, well, the kingdom of God has a king. Yeah. And the king, like God, like all other laws, I mean, all other kingdoms, has laws that we are determined to live by. If we love Him, we want to keep His law. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect at it, but it means that we desire to be perfected, knowing that for our failing, where we're not perfected yet, while we're being perfected, that our sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. Nobody gets in on their own merit. That's right. But to stay in His kingdom, you have to be willing to learn obedience. You have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work repentance in you. If you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, then you are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of like the unforgivable sin, to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit is working repentance, if the fruit of repentance is being worked out in your life, if you're doing as Jesus said, You know, pick up your cross and follow me. That's evidence that the Holy Spirit is working repentance in you and that you're not blaspheming the Holy Spirit by not allowing him to work in you, to convict you of sin, to allow you to be perfected by that work of the Holy Spirit. And that's how you know that you're walking in his kingdom. And sometimes it doesn't seem so evident that people start to walk and you fall down a lot at the beginning. But, you know, if you walk 10 years, you should be able to look back and go, you know, God is yet, I'm not the same man I was 10 years ago when he started working on me, you know, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And, you know, if you walk with him 20, 30, 40 years, well, you're going to have a lot invested in his kingdom. So the thing is to repent and start walking that narrow way now. And don't turn to the left or the right. And if you do, well, you know, just repent and get back on track and cry out to the Almighty, please, Father, teach me obedience. Teach me to walk that straight, narrow way. And there's no sinless perfection that you can attain in this life. No one becomes perfect in this mortal existence. So the fact is, you know, for us mature Christians who've been walking, you know, 40 years or more even, we know that. And we know that God, even though he's been working on us 40 years, that he can still perfect us more. So I'm game. You know, I've been walking 40 years plus. And he's been perfecting me that long. And I know if I could live another 40 years until he comes, that he can still work in me. You know, he can still perfect me even more. So be it. I'm all for it. Yeah, amen. Let's do it. That's my attitude. I have no escapist mentality about getting out of here or wanting Jesus to come and rapture me before anything bad happens. You live, bad things are going to happen. And you live in Christ, you're going to suffer persecution and people are going to hate you. And that's going to be something that is unpleasant. But those unpleasant things perfect us. So even while we don't like them, we accept them and we allow God's Holy Spirit to work in us and to perfect us. And all of the promises, and you know, that's what prophecy and all of the promises of God are all about. So that we have something to fix our eyes on. Something to look forward to. Because without the resurrection, we got nothing. We're in the world without hope like everyone else. If we don't have the resurrection and all the promises of God. And a lot of people would say, well, how do I know that's true? Well, because I know it's true. Because God has revealed these things to me by his Spirit. And he has given me an assurance that can only come from him, that all of the promises of God are true. And that's my witness to you. That's all I can say is that if you want it and you're willing to seek him with all your heart, with all your mind, with your life, then he will reveal all those things to you. He will give you that assurance. He will not leave you without hope in the world. Because, you know, walking in this world and walking by faith in Christ is not an easy thing. We do need hope. We do need assurances that the promises of God are true. And I couldn't take your word for it, and I can't take the pastor's word for it. I can't take some preacher that I heard on the radio or saw on the TV. I can't take his word for it. I can say, well, he believes that. He may genuinely believe that, but unless I have some undeniable assurance from the Almighty myself in such a way that he reveals to me that I can't deny it, then I have an assurance. And that's all I can tell you is that I have that and I know that God gives that to anyone who seeks him. He said that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so that's diligence. That means you don't give up. You keep on seeking. And I like the words of Jesus, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So it's not just seeking God, but it's seeking what is right in his sight, his righteousness to be imputed into your life, you know, because he imputes his righteousness to us. So anything that I do right, is I can't even take the credit for it because it's imputed righteousness. It's his righteousness that he imputes to me, that by his Holy Spirit, that the work of the repentance that he accomplishes in my life. And so when we do that, when we put him first in our lives, he gives us that assurance that we can only get from him. So say, get it from him. I can only testify that I have it. And I would like you to have it if you don't have it already. And I know a lot of people who have it. Yeah, you know, there's a good number of people out there that I know that have that assurance. And they're walking that repentance road. That's what I call it, repentance road. It's repentance is not a bad word. It's of course comes from the Greek metanoeo, which means to change your mind. Now, of course, there are a lot of people that don't want to change their mind, but, you know, that's their business. If they don't want to change their mind, there's nothing I can do about it because I can't save them. There's a scripture verse that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I can't work out anybody else's salvation. I can work out my own. I can hope that me working out my own salvation with fear and trembling, that it will be an example to those that love me, to those that look up to me, or those that hate me even, that see me working out my salvation, that maybe I can be an example to them, and maybe they'll work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, and start on that hard repentance road that requires you to be persecuted and hated by the world. And that's it. It's not an easy thing. You know, I remember back in the 80s when they used to have the Coca-Cola commercials that said, things go better with Coke. And then people started saying, well, things go better with Jesus. Well, I don't think so, because if you believe that, you're not going to last very long walking by faith. It's not an easy thing. So the promises of God, and that's what we're talking about here in Zechariah, the promises of God, and these are some of the promises that we will rule and reign with him during this period of time here. It says, and Judah and the wealth of all nations round about. Okay. Oh, yeah. And it shall come to pass, in verse 16, that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and shall keep, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're going to keep these feast days. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So he's saying, if the rain don't work, you're going to have a plague. Oh, wow. Yeah. And you know, people think that's when there's no rain or there's plague or famine or whatever, they think, well, it's just nature. They don't look to God. They don't cry out to him. And as it says in the Revelation, and they repented not of their deeds, of the evil things that they're doing. So the Lord sends, you know, he stops the rain. They don't repent. He sends a plague. They don't repent. And that's been going on, yeah, for a long time. So we see the same things are going to happen to the nations that don't accept Christ. I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, I just have an inkling of what it's going to be like. I know that I'm not going to get sick, and that, but I'm not sure we're going to have things like automobiles. We may go back to, you know, horses and buggies and things like that. Will we need computers in the millennial, during the millennial reign? We're going to have this ideal world to live in. Of course, it's still going to be a fallen world because there's going to be mortals, people dying. The only difference is it's going to be kind of idyllic because Satan, you know, the organizing force for evil that's in the world now, he's going to be cast and locked in the bottomless pit until the end, until the very end when he'll be loosed for a season to organize all of those mortals that lived and are living at that time, to organize them into to gather them together for battle. And of course, the same thing is going to happen again. Is they're going to be simply destroyed. And that's kind of what's going on right now. We see, if we read about the three frogs in the book of Revelation, the three frogs, those evil spirits, are organizing force for evil to gather men together, to gather the world and the nations together for the great day of the battle of God Almighty when Jesus returns. And they're simply going to be destroyed when they come up, when he appears with 10,000s of his saints, which, you know, I plan to be on that, in that number. And they will simply be destroyed. Yeah. And we get a little inkling of how that's going to happen here in Zechariah chapter 14. So it says, but beyond all that, when the mortals that live through that, that if they don't come up during the millennial reign of Christ to worship the Lord, that they will suffer the same type of judgments, you know, no rain, plagues, whatever. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And, you know, I've said it in the past, and I wished that the churches could have kept the feasts, the tabernacles, and the Passover. But it seems like maybe the early church did, but then during, you know, the rise of the apostate church, everything was obliterated. If those were being kept at all, I don't know. But there's an indication here that all of these feasts will be restored. Of course, there will be no more sacrifice for sin, but that doesn't mean we can't have a feast, you know. That doesn't mean we can't, you know, have the celebrate the Passover, have the Feast of Tabernacles. I wish we could. I mean, you know, basically, I read about tabernacles, and what this is like a big camp out, you know, where everybody leaves their houses for 8 days, you know, from one Sabbath to the next, and they go out and camp out, and you leave all your computers and your stuff behind, and of course, you prepare, you bring all your food and stuff, and you hang out with your family, and you worship the Lord for 8 days, and you're supposed to go out into the wilderness. And so these families would meet and keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the wilderness. They'd bring their tents, the tabernacles, that's what it means, tents. It was a feast of tents, so it was like camping out. And, you know, I love to camp out. Been to family reunions where everyone brings a tent and they all camp out. We just hang out for, you know, whatever time period. It's a lot of fun. So we get together and can do that and celebrate the Lord for tabernacles. I'm looking forward to it. Can't seem to get enough of this kind of good stuff during this mortal existence, but maybe during the millennial reign of Christ, all these things can be fulfilled and we can do them right. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? Okay, we're going to take a little break here, and I'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross Border, a Prophecy Reality Edition. Go not anywhere.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then, when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately, and continue to do so with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. It's our Prophecy Reality Edition. And we're just talking about what we have to look forward to in the time to come, beyond the return of Christ. Looking at Zechariah chapter 14 and all the promises of God. What's it going to be like? Well, there will be mortals on the earth. I think there's more than enough evidence from the scripture, too many witnesses to ignore. Some people believe that all mortals will be, that no one will live through that final judgment, but in order for people to be born and live, and for these things to be fulfilled that we're reading about here in Zechariah and some of the other prophets and some of the things that are read in Revelation, someone's got to be for that. You know, there's got to be some mortals that are unrepentant and unregenerate on the earth, that for that Gog and Magog war toward the end of the millennial reign of Christ. So, and if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, those of us that are resurrected upon His return, what are we going to rule and reign on if it's just going to be all of us resurrected in Christ? We're already ruled and reigned, you know. We've already submitted to the Almighty. He already is our Lord and our God and our King. So, and we will be like him. So it's not going to be us that are going to be rebelling. It's not going to be the resurrected. It's going to be the mortals, because it's still a fallen earth. And there's still, the curse is still going to be upon the earth until there is a new heaven and new earth. And even though Satan will be locked up for most of that millennial reign, he is going to be loosed at the end as an organizing force for those people. So those mortals that do not and will not submit to the rule of Christ, yes, even during this millennial reign. Says here in Zechariah, talking about punishment in Egypt, this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And like I said, I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to do it. I want to do it now, but nobody wants to do it with me. So, yes, indeed. In that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them, and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. And well, that's the end of Zechariah. So what's left? What do we have left to do here that we have about 35, 36, 37, maybe 38, 39 years left, according to, you know, I never claim to know the exact day or hour or even the exact year. I'm just saying it's going to be about 2055. That's close enough for me. Yeah. A lot can happen in the next 39 years. We have a mark of the beast monetary system that is differentiated from, you know, past mark of the beast. I mean, anyone who worships idols participates in transubstantiation, worships images, prays to saints, believes that the Pope is the vicar of Christ and calls him the Most Holy Father. These all have the mark of that apostate church, the mark of the beast, because the beast is now controlled by that entity. So they have the mark of the beast, and they worship the dragon. And in the past, people had the mark of the beast, or they had the mark of God. But there's something different about this end time monetary requirement that you're going to need it in order to buy or sell or trade. And it falls right in line with what we're talking about with the Economist magazine and their 1988 cover, you know, predicting that in 30 years, it would take them 30 years to do away with cash. And, well, you know, they're 95% there, because now I would say that 95% of all transactions are now digital. So they just feel like it's a little step left. They've already got rid of all the real money. It's all fiat usury, so it's Satan's money. They've got rid of God's money. Though some people still may barter and trade in silver and gold, and some people trade in cash. They're still bartering for, you know, products or substance for cash. But they want to get rid of that, and they want to outlaw it. And then anyone who will not participate will be an enemy of the New World Social Economic Order and apparently be killed. Okay? So we got all this, and many, there may be a whole new wave of martyrs, because the scripture talks about people being killed for not participating. And it talks about those who overcome. Well, some of them overcome by laying down their lives. So we have quite a few things the temple will be built. And fortunately, here's the good news, that all of the things that the futurists say are going to happen are not going to happen. Because, see, what the futurists don't know is that all of the things that they've crammed into the last, their great tribulation period of 7 years, or the last 3.5 years of it, most of those things have already happened in the past. Because the revelation was history written in advance, and it covers the whole church era or New Testament era from John, you know, because he wrote the letters to the seven churches. That was the things which are and the things which will be hereafter. It didn't say the things which are and the things which will happen way in the future before I come. So it covers kind of like of some a lot of the historical prophecies of Daniel, like Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 11, and many of the other prophecies of Daniel, where they cover a long-running period of history. Right after the Revelation, the longest-running prophecy, well, I guess would be Daniel chapter 2, the Nebuchadnezzar image, because it goes from the Babylon to the return of Christ and the setting up of his kingdom, and his kingdom covering the whole earth. So you have a whole very long-running prophecy there. And then you have another long-running prophecy in Daniel chapter 11. It covers all of the political machinations of the 70 weeks. Yeah, the 490-year period goes on a little bit about that, but it goes up to the time determined for Israel, the 490 years. And so we have, there's a pretty long running prophecy there of, about 500 or so years. But the revelation, then goes from the time that, John wrote the revelation, the things which are talking, about the seven churches. And we see there are lessons to be learned from the seven churches that God addresses at the time that John wrote, that lessons to be learned in application for everyone in all of the churches, churches of all time, covering the entire, Revelation time period from that time until Christ returns. And of course, then it goes beyond and we learn about the new heaven and new earth beyond the seventh millennium or the millennial reign of Christ. So that's a pretty long running prophecy there of, nearly 3,000 years in the Revelation there. And nothing is skipped over, you know. A lot of things aren't focused on, but it's a continual prophecy that covers the entire, 2,000 years till Christ returns. And then there's an overview of what's going to happen during the millennial reign of Christ and the end of that. And then, of course, a new heaven and new earth. And so we have a historical prophecy unfolding in history. And if you've read, E.B. Eliot's Hori Apocalypticae, he goes through the history and he shows you how it's played out. So all of that's not going to happen in 3.5 or 7 years. We are in, the seventh vial right now, or the sixth vial. The three frogs have been loose. Yeah, we're getting up just upon the seventh vial right now. So we're getting right toward the end where Christ is going to return. So I don't know if there's going to be, will that be World War III when Christ returns? See, because if it is, then I don't have to worry about it because I will be resurrected and changed and I will be on the winning side. So if that's World War III, then whew, I don't have to worry about that. And all of the awful things that the future... See, because they're trying to sell you this rapture scenario. And they're trying to make it so awful that you're going to want to buy into their escape. You're going to want to believe this fantasy that you're going to be raptured away before anything bad happens. But all of those bad things aren't going to happen. Sure, bad things happen and are going to happen and are happening right now and have happened throughout history. That's, you know, it's still going to play out. Bad things are going to continue to happen. But it's not going to be, you know, all of those things crammed into this little period of time, this so-called seven-year great tribulation. I call it the seven-year tribulation deception, because that's what it is. And you can read a little bit about that in my book, but I'm going to go into a lot more detail about it in my upcoming book. So you're going to keep your eye on that. I think the working title of my book is When the Temple is Built, the Rapture Play Begins. That's kind of the working title of the book. Whether that'll be the title when I publish it, I don't know. But the working title gives you kind of an idea of what the book will be about, and a lot more details in tearing down the futurist lie, the counter-reformation lie that was the foundation of which was written by the Jesuit Francisco Ribera nearly 500 years ago and built upon by many agents of Satan, some unwittingly, some very well-intentioned people, you know, that have built upon a lie. But it's still a lie. You know, when God called me into the ministry and to the Bible ministry about 20 years ago, called me away from construction as a carpenter, as a journeyman carpenter, contractor, and I thought, well, you know, I believed in the rapture, and I believed in futurism because that's what I was taught by my pastors and by many books I read. I hadn't really studied it out. And I thought, well, okay, well, I got to teach this, but before I teach it, I got to know what I'm talking about. So I had to dig into God's Word to look for it, and I had a problem because I couldn't find it. As a matter of fact, I found something else. I found that there were no raptures in the Bible. There was only one resurrection event, and that was upon the return of Christ. And so I'll hang on to that. And then I couldn't find a seven-year. I found, you know, I found the tribulation of those days before Christ returns. That's the closest terminology coming from the scripture that I could find about tribulation before he returns, but I couldn't find any seven-year tribulation period. Then they told me, well, that's Daniel's 70th week. I read Daniel's 70th week, and I found out that that's already history. That's past. The 70th week followed the 69th, and I couldn't find any authorization or anything that explicitly separates the 70th week from the other 69 and puts a big gap in there. That's all made up to support the futurist lie of the end time Antichrist, which was only developed for one purpose. That was to vindicate the papacy from being the Antichrist. That's the whole reason that the end time Antichrist scenario was dreamed up, and they took other parts of the scripture out and they made up the 7-year tribulation, said, oh, we'll borrow Daniel's 70th week and we'll put it at the end of time with the Antichrist who will rise, and it's all made up. But the whole purpose was to vindicate the papacy from the accusation of the reformers that the papacy was the very seat of the Antichrist, and Catholicism was the apostate church. The Roman church was the apostate church. That was their determination. That was their conviction. And that was their protest against it. And so the Jesuit Ribera made up this lie, the futurist Antichrist lie, to vindicate it. And that's why you believe it, and that's why it's been taught, whether you know it or not. And so they're celebrating the death of Protestantism, the death of the Reformation, and the success of the Counter-Reformation. The most telling and poignant picture on the cover of the Economist magazine for 2017. That's it right there. But I'm here to tell you, the protest is not dead. It may not be as loud as I would like it to be. There may not be as many people that believe it, but I believe it. The protest is not over. And we're shouting it over here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com and everything that I'm doing in prophecy acknowledges that the protest is not over. And I'm protesting the mark of the beast, I'm protesting Antichrist, and I'm protesting the apostate church. And I will continue, no matter what the cost. And I guess if my voice gets loud enough or enough people start listening to it, well, they'll come after me too, like they go after everyone else. It gets loud enough. But I'd rather duplicate. So come on, join me. Start up your own website. Start your own broadcast. You know, get your own YouTube page. Get out there and let's duplicate. Yeah, there's enough to go around. There's enough people that need to be reached in your neighborhood and in whatever venue you're in, whatever outreach that you're able to. You have your own family, your own church community that you can infiltrate with the truth, and make those connections and start to teach people the truth that the protest is not over, and especially now that there seems like they're going to get their one world worship, monetary worship system, where you have to participate. I'm already protesting. I'm protesting socialism. You know, that's, or force. See, communism is socialism by force. We go back to the magazine article there with the picture, the Economist picture here in the tower. We see we have atheistic communism here, and we have Catholicism over here, and I'm going to tell you, the tower is not going to fall down. It may be attacked, it may be on fire, and they may burn it, but I'm going to tell you what, right? They may think they're winning, but all of these people over here and all these people over here, they ain't going to rise from the dead. We win. Yeah. See, I have the promises of God on my side. You know, all they got over here is purgatory, and all they got over on this other side is dirt. You know, that's their hope, dirt, right? They get to go to the grave and dirt. But it's worse than that, because they're going to be cast into the lake of fire with the beast and the false prophet and the image and all of those who follow and worship the dragon are going to be cast into the lake of fire with the dragon. So they're hoping they get dirt, but I get bad news for them. They need to repent, because they ain't going to just get dirt. And these people over here ain't going to purgatory, and I'm going to get released by some sacrifice to the false god of the Vatican, to get released from purgatory or prayers for the dead or whatever. It's going to be bad. They need to repent of their idolatries too. Okay? You need to run to the tower. The strong tower, because it may crumble in the mortal plane, and it may look like it's not going to stand, but I'm going to tell you what, the truth stands forever. It's only our mortality that comes to an end. And even if our mortality comes to an end before Christ returns, all I'm here to tell you that I have that assurance from the Almighty Himself. Yeah, Almighty God has assured me Himself that all of the promises are true. And you know what? Even if you say, you might be like, ah, you're just deluded, you know. It's just a fantasy. Well, what do you got? What are you offering me? If you're an atheist, you're offering me dirt, you know. And if you're a papist, what do you offer me? Purgatory, you know. And then I might get released if someone, you know, pays enough money or says some prayers or whatever to the dead or prays to a saint or whatever, I might get released from purgatory. I don't know. You know, there's no hope there. It's like Islam. You know, what do they get? They have no assurances whatsoever. You know, they're like the Catholics over here. Really don't have any assurance. Yeah, there's nothing. You're relying on a man-made religion, an apostasy. It's not the truth. You know, God's Word. You know, wish I could have my Bible's over in my other building because I use my e-sword here. Say you got to trust in God's Word. Yeah. Forget men. Forget religions of men. There's only one true religion, and that's the one that you'll find in God's Word. So, and the kingdom gospel, the gospel of the kingdom is the sure thing. And that's why I call my ministry Cross the Border, because we need to cross the border. It's a spiritual border that we cross into the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God transcends all of the kingdoms of the earth. So it doesn't matter whether you're in Mexico or in Canada or the UK or Russia, you can cross the border into God's kingdom and join the only kingdom that will live forever. Repent. The kingdom is at hand. And you stay in His kingdom. And if you're in His kingdom, when your mortality ends, no matter what happens, how that happens, you will be in His kingdom forever, and we'll see each other in the resurrection. Well, that's all we have time for today, so may the Almighty bless you as you continue in His kingdom.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. We hope that you have noticed that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our various affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, like a tithe, missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs on our listen and schedule pages on the internet. Then when you subscribe, we will send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We ask. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.